Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. And I put on the agenda 5 minutes for acknowledgments. George, do we have five minutes of acknowledgments?
Well, it usually goes after we approve the agenda. And it has to go after the roll call because we should be on the stream. There's no point in acknowledging people if they can't hear about it.
Okay, we're on the stream now, though, John, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do the acknowledgments after the agenda. Wendy, are you ready to call the roll?
Yes, I am. Grace Aaron.
Here.
David Beaton. David Beaton. Nia Bediako. Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Jim Brown. A.C. Bird. A.C. Bird, Kathy Davis. Kathy Davis, Sherry Gindelman.
Present.
Luzette King.
Present.
Ifia Wangaza.
Present.
Sean Casey O'Brien. Sean?
I'm here, present.
Oh, you're way back there. Okay. Leslie Radford.
Present.
Sandra Rollins.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Jamie Ross.
Here.
Rico Ross.
Present.
Wendy Schrell is here. Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
Andrea Turner.
Present.
Joe Wanzala.
Present.
And Susan Young.
Present.
Very good. We have a quorum.
Dave Beaton, present. I just back in.
Oh, can I just... Okay, good. All right. The other people I'm missing are Jim Brown, A.C. Bird, Kathy Davis, and that's it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so I hope you all have the agenda in front of you. We'll review and approve the agenda. Are there any additions?
This is George.
Okay, George.
I'd like to 5 minutes to discuss hiring a secretary, a recording secretary for the meeting. I guess it should go after I don't know. It's not that it's controversial. How about if we put it after your reports from the IED and this ICFO, so it would be number 4, just before number 4.
All right. Will anyone second that?
I second that, Luzette.
Okay. Is there any objection to that agenda addition?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. Any other additions or changes in the agenda?
Yes, Grace, this is Leslie. I'd like to put my proposal about volunteers on the agenda. I'm not going to contest you on this, but I do want clarification on your distinction between micromanagement and policy setting so that we can all understand what the difference is.
Second.
Okay. I would rule that out of order, as it is not it's beyond the purview of our rights and duties as directors of this foundation. We are directed to oversee the general managers and the executive director and other staff, but not to tell them how to do their job. So we can give them performance criteria, in my understanding of the bylaws, but not tell them how to reach the stated goals in those criteria.
Okay, so that clarifies it for me. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Any other changes or amendments, additions to the agenda?
Nia?
Well?
Yes.
Yes. The issue of Dorchenex, that was part of Leslie's motion. She had two things in there.
Pardon me? Can you say that again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on my cell phone. let them mention the alternates also.
Alternates. I believe that's number five on the agenda.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Yes, Kathy.
Okay. There's so many on this agenda.
Pardon me?
Yeah, there's so many. I'm sorry. I'm using my cell. Sorry.
Not
first on the agenda.
Yeah, there's an agenda item number five, sort out how committee alternates are chosen, 7 minutes. So it is already on the agenda.
Grace?
Yes.
Well, I know when I chair, normal practice is that you just read the agenda so the public could hear what's on the agenda. I think that would be a good thing to do because they don't see what we see.
Okay.
Can I suggest that we do this after we've approved the agenda? Or else we'll read it, reading it twice.
Yeah. I think that's a better way to do it, to read it after we approve it. Okay, thank you.
Grace, point of order, does new business come up now or at new business?
It comes up at new business.
Thank you.
All right, any other changes?
Lamari Williams?
Yes.
Yes, I'd just like to state that I am on the call as the interim CFO, that I am on the call, and actually I'm also on the agenda. Thank you.
Welcome, LaVarne.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other changes or additions to this agenda?
I would move that we approve the agenda.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Is there any opposition to approving the agenda as amended?
Who is it who moved the agenda?
I believe it was Sandra.
Sandra.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. Can the secretary read the agenda as amended for the public?
No, someone else will have to do that. I was making a pretty chart at the same time.
I'll go to work on it if that's okay. I'm trying to keep notes as well. This is Susan. Call to order, call of the roll, 2 minutes. Review and approval of the agenda, 5 minutes. Welcome and acknowledgement, 6 minutes. Approval of minutes, 5 minutes. Comments and update by the chair, acting IED, 6 minutes. Comments by ICFO LaVarne Williams, 6 minutes. And then I think was where we inserted, consider hiring a recording secretary, followed by motion to limit how long directors can speak per agenda item. Then sort out how committee alternates are chosen. Then a motion by, and that's 7 minutes, sorry, 7 minutes each. Request to have all legal opinions in writing and including legal citations. A motion by Sean O'Brien, 10 minutes. Strategic planning discussion, 30 minutes. Meeting schedule of the year, 10 minutes. New business, old business, announcements, adjournment, to be followed by a closed session.
Thank you very much, Susan. All right, the next thing on the agenda, I believe, is the acknowledgments. George, do we have acknowledgments?
Well, I don't do them all. I mean, it's 5 minutes for anyone who wants to acknowledge anybody they want to in the network.
Okay, well, do you have anyone? Let's start with you.
Yeah, I had one. I heard the national programming we did, it was back a few weeks ago when we were putting on the Attorney General's confirmation hearing. And after that, there was, I just heard a piece. It was clearly produced by Pacifica. It was Mitch Jedrich and his co-producer, whose name I don't remember, but I want to acknowledge both of them for doing a fine job of putting somebody on the air who could really clarify what was happening with the Israel-Gaza situation. And it was the first time I'd heard anything sort of really accurate about the sequence of events. And so thanks to them both. I want to acknowledge both of them for the fine job they did with that.
Thank you, George. Anyone else have an acknowledgement they'd like to voice?
I'd like to, this is Efi, I'd like to acknowledge Ken Aaron for his patience and his support of Grace Aaron, our new chair, and specifically, and of those of us whom they hosted during the meeting, along with all the other hosts who opened their homes to us to make our meeting economically feasible, and to Ken especially for his endless and untiring support of both Grace and Pacifica.
Thank you very much, Efia. I hope Ken's listening. Any other acknowledgments?
Yes, this is Leslie, and I would very much like to acknowledge the listener members of KPFK for their wonderful support of the PNB meeting here last week. And they did organizing and hosting our guests to L.A.
Thanks, Leslie. I agree with that completely. Anyone else have an acknowledgement?
Yeah. Wendy, please.
Wendy?
Hi. Yeah, I also want to acknowledge all the PNB members for and everybody in L.A. who helped to make this happen, that we could have. I'm sure that this last meeting that we just did is going to be the least expensive in the last 5 years, at least. I'm going to acknowledge people in advance for not turning in expense reimbursements if they don't have to for the meals that we had, because every little bit will help, and just thank everybody for doing this so well. And I'd also like to take this time to acknowledge Donna Neiman for her amazing work as secretary for the last, I don't know if she's been here for 3 months, but the last couple of months for sure. Donna, just came from out of nowhere almost. Well, I guess Sherry called her up, and I appreciate Sherry for that too. And thank you, Donna, for everything that you have done for us in this thankless job as PNB secretary.
Definitely. Is that Carolyn?
Yes, please. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sure, thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge the Feminist Majority Foundation that hosted the meeting. The venue was wonderful. People were really very welcoming and made things very comfortable. The equipment was well guarded. The place was comfortable. And really, it couldn't have been a nicer spot. So thank you to the Feminist Majority Foundation in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Carolyn. Anyone else?
Yes, this is David Beaton.
David?
I'd like to acknowledge Nathan Moore. Nathan, a former Pacifica employee, national, programming director. He's just been appointed to head the administration of FSRN. And he sent me a nice email saying that he'd like to continue and build a stronger relationship.
Great.
Thanks. Excellent.
Thanks, David. Anyone else?
This is Efia. I'd also like to acknowledge Ursula Rudenberg and her work on behalf of the affiliates and the bottom that the affiliates program, the economic bottom that the affiliates program provides for Pacifica. And her drive to strengthen, not only strengthen the program, but strengthen the contribution and participation of Pacifica's more than 130 affiliates.
Thanks, Efia. Any other acknowledgments? All right, hearing none, I'd like to add my own, and that's to thank George for adding this to the agenda. I think it really starts the meeting off in a positive light. And the next thing, I believe we should appoint a timekeeper. I forgot to put that in the agenda. Would anyone be willing to be the timekeeper?
I'll do it, Grace.
Okay, George, thank you. And the next thing on the agenda is approval of minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes
I believe I actually had some myself.
Which minutes are we talking about, Grace?
I believe we have the minutes for the in-person meeting that were sent sometime today. They came in an email on at 12:20 p.m. In my Outlook Express from Donna, and it's in a series of attachments.
I wonder how many people have had a chance to really study them.
I have not.
I have not either.
Okay. Is it the will of the body that we postpone consideration of the minutes until the next teleconference?
Yes, so.
Okay.
And let's just insist on doing it then. It's fantastic that Donna got them out this fast, and I don't want to disparage that effort. So let's just for sure do it next time and make sure everybody's ready.
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item. And,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Rico.
Before we move any further, I read an email. Someone suggested that we limit the conversation, the talking on an issue to a minute, 90 seconds or 2 minutes. I'd like to make a motion that we limit it to 90.
Rico, I have you on the agenda a little further on after the interim ED report and after the CFO report. It's right after that.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
And after the recording secretary edition.
Oh, that's right. After that. Okay, so I think we're up to my report in my other persona as the acting IED. I did send you out all a report, but for the sake of those of you who haven't read it and for the stream, I'll go over it as quickly as I can. In regards to the station's affiliates and archives, I carefully read the strategic plan that our 5GMs and the archives director put together. I think it's an excellent plan. It is a work in progress, and the people working on it would like to further develop it. Although the strat plan has elements that can be implemented immediately, and suggestions for that, it doesn't contain a specific implementation plan or timelines. It mainly addresses medium to long-range projects. I met with the GMs and the archive and affiliate directors on Thursday over the phone in their weekly phone meeting, and I thought it was a very productive meeting. However, part of the conversation addressed the current fund drive results. Unfortunately, our most recent fund drives are coming in under budget. The KPFA drive was weak. KPFT came in, I believe, at 77%. WPFW is not up to expectations. WBAI is not doing as well as hoped. KPFK just started its drive a day or two ago. I don't recall the exact numbers, but it did sound as though the drives were coming in about 20% under budget. I asked the GMs if this was indeed the case, and they responded that it was. I'll do all I can to get precise numbers for the PNB as rapidly as possible. On the Finance Committee a few months ago, I did an analysis of fixed expenses at each station. Fixed expenses, in other words, expenses that cannot be reduced, are about 50% of the budget items at each station. This means that calculating austerity measures as the main means of getting expenses reduced to the point where they match revenue could mean, in the case of what looks like a current 20% reduction in gross income, a 40% reduction in non-fixed expenses, which would be mainly payroll reductions. Obviously, payroll reductions of that magnitude are untenable. The numbers I'm reciting here are not official, but the best estimate we have to work with. At any rate, we're all aware that our financial situation as a foundation is not rosy. Therefore, I'll be requesting the following in writing from each GM to be received by me within 2 weeks. First, an emergency plan to improve revenue, including specific steps that will be taken to implement the plan that the GMs individually prepare themselves with a timeline. Two, a short-range strategic plan for their individual station to both increase revenue and reduce expenses that can bridge into medium and longer-range strategic planning. The GMs expressed to me their understanding of the necessity of improving programming, which will lead to increased income. They would like PNB support as they improve programming and take other emergency measures to turn around their stations and the foundation in these difficult economic times. I'll be creating a form that will that I will expect each GM to fill out weekly, giving me and the PNB vital statistics as we move forward in this trying period. Some of the things that will be included will be cash flow for the week, unexpected expenses, any change in employee status, arbitrons, etc. I'll be getting that out as soon as I can develop it. And the national, as far as the national office goes, Lavorne has been working in the national office this past week, I'm very happy to say, and she'll put any details about that in her report, which will come next. As far as legal matters go, I spoke at length with John Kriegler, our FCC attorney. He'll be filing a change of director form with the FCC for us. He explained his relationship to Pacifica. I emailed a synopsis of my phone conversation with him to you all, but for the stream, I'll just say very briefly, we pay John a $750 per month retainer, and he helps us with all matters related to the Federal Communications Commission, copyright, communications, and other such matters. John alerted me to reporting that will be needed to be done when we air material which would normally need to have royalties paid to the author. I did not fully grasp the details, but will be alert to how this may affect us. John said that we may be able to obtain a Sirius FM, XM station. I discussed this very briefly at the GM meeting. There was some strong enthusiasm about this option, as it would give us a national voice, could strengthen us as a network, and could eventually be a new income stream. There were some reservations about doing this, however, as well as enthusiasm. I'll do my best to serve Pacifica in the capacity of acting interim ED. However, and I would stress this, I would urge the Personnel Committee of the PNB to begin a search for an interim or permanent ED for Pacifica. This should be a high priority, and that's about all I have to report. I'd like to now, instead of taking any of this discussion about my report, I'd like to go on to Lavorne's report, and any discussion about our reports can come later in the strategic planning section of this agenda. Lavorne?
Yes, thank you. This is Lavorne Williams, and I'm the interim chief financial officer for Pacifica at this time. If I'm not talking loud enough, just let me know. Basically, as Grace has stated, I went into the office on Monday, so I've been in each day this week, and I've spent some time, and a lot of the time, or the major projects I think that I had to attend to would be just assuring the continuity of the finance office and to assure the staff there that the changes that took place over last weekend, that we are there to continue to support them and try to continue with the projects that were ongoing. And the major project, I think I've spoken to a number of directors over the week, is that we're still working on the audit and also their reports that are due this month in finance, including the 990s that are due at the end of the month and 1099s. And we have a target date of the 20th, I believe. So those are the major things. The other thing within the office is just assuring that there are resources available to get the work done. And at this time, we have worked with KPFK and with Sean and the business manager there, Efren Larinas?
Urenas,
thank you. And he will be helping us to get a lot of the reports done so we can get them done on a timely basis. And also, I might remind, I guess I can update you during the closed session, is that we have a rec for another finance person, so I'd like to move forward immediately with posting that. And The other thing is this little task that we've gotten done is that the audit concern about the separation of task and the office when mail comes in. So we have identified a volunteer to help with that, someone whose expertise and skills are much beyond opening letters, but this person has shown the ability to give us information and also a high degree of confidentiality that this person has exhibited. So we have identified someone to help to correct that audit point now or this past week. And the other thing is just housekeeping concerns. Not having, finally we should have access to the files that the former CFO had that was on the drive there in the national office. And unfortunately there was, the computer had a breakdown, so I could not access that drive to get the information out. But I guess I can talk in public that I did have corresponded with the former CFO, so we're on board in terms of where the information is, and I'm really happy that we were able to identify where it is and get information there from Mr. Higgs. And the other major things that probably I should talk about would be personnel related. So as far as other finance information and numbers, the only update I can really give you on that is that I spoke with the KPFA, I'm sorry, today, to give you just a brief update on the fund drive. That this is day 10 of the, I'm sorry, and KPFA has really described and tried to brand this as not really a fund drive, but as a membership drive. And their goals are 5,000 new members, and they're up to 4,000 now. And as far as the funds, this is day 10, and they're about near 50% of the goal there. And that's essentially of the many things that we've been taking care of over the week. And again, just assuring that there are issues of effort, issues that are there, things that need to be done, that there's continuity, and that we're all on the ball here, and that we have all spoken and talked with each other and communicated other issues that needs to be taken care of at this time.
Thank you very much, Lavorne.
You're welcome.
We're really happy to have you.
Thank you.
And the next thing on the agenda is George.
It's very clear that we need to have a recording secretary. I want to move that we hire Richard Uzzell, who's been the secretary for the KPFT-LSP for some time now. He does a wonderful job. The minutes are clear. They're on time. He's willing to do it can I say the amount on the air in public?
Yes.
$25 an hour, the time he spends on the telephone calls or actually in a person-to-person meeting, plus whatever transportation. So that seems to be very, very inexpensive and well worth our time. So I would move that. If I have a second, we could perhaps vote on it. Or people have other candidates, they can amend
who
it.
Who was the person?
His name
Madam
is Richard
Chair.
Uzzell.
Could
Uzzell.
Thank you.
You see a second.
Okay. Is there any objection to this suggestion?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll start a stack then. Is that Sherry?
Yes, that was.
Okay.
Bonnie, just stack also, please.
Okay. Sherry and Bonnie.
We have a budget. We've approved the budget. We can't do anything without a financial impact statement. This is whether it's $5 or $500,000, it's an illegal process once the budget has been approved.
Okay, Bonnie?
This is Leslie. I'd like to be on the stack also.
Okay.
Sean would like to be on too.
I just want to speak a little more generally about it. I would like us, if you were listening to Grace's report a few minutes ago or read it earlier today, stations are all going to be facing, making very tough decisions on cutting back the money that they are able to spend in their operations, and I think that it would be proper for us as a board to always be looking at every amount of money that we are spending in governance in this organization and act appropriately to recognize the financial difficulties that we're all in here.
Can I go on the stack, Lizette?
Okay. Now, we have two cons so far. Leslie, are you a pro or a con?
Oh, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Can I ask for a pro? And I'll
a pro.
Carolyn, a point of information, please.
Okay.
Hello? This is Lizette.
Okay, let me just take a sec. Sean, are you a pro?
Yes, I'm a pro.
Okay, Sean, can you speak to this?
Please, Carolyn here.
Okay, Carolyn, go ahead.
Where did the money come from for our former secretary, interim secretary?
And I'm sorry, I thought I was next, and Carol, I was...
Okay, yeah, Carolyn, I think that's more of a discussion item.
I think it was just a point of information. I'm sorry, I just wanted to know where the money had come from before.
Yeah, this is money that's already in the budget. We have budgeted this money, and there's no need for a financial impact or anything like that. And this is a crucial resource if we're going to have good governance. This isn't some flimsy little bit of money we're spending. This is something that should not be cut for the public's sake, for transparency, and there's money already in the budget. So let's get on with this, and if this person can do the job, let's hire him.
Okay, Liz, I'll take one more pro. That's Lucette.
Thank you.
I assume you're a pro.
I am pro. I think for an organization like this and the position we're in right now, record keeping is crucial. And I believe we have a legal responsibility to ensure that we keep good records. So even if we hadn't budgeted for it, if the need is urgent that we seem to be failing in our responsibility of keeping records, then we have to find a way around it. I'd rather be sued for overspending for keeping records than not looking at the issue of spending for keeping accurate records, which is a legal requirement of this board.
Okay. As we're close to time on this item, I'll take one more con and one more pro. Leslie, are you a con or a pro?
I would like to amend this to say that this appointment be interim until we can see what this person can do.
Got that right.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment to George's motion? Hearing none.
Point of information.
Yes.
Can George tell us a little bit about this gentleman before
we
take a decision?
George, can you give us a little bit more background on Richard?
Well, as I said, Richard has been an LSB member for, I guess, 2 or 3 years. He's been our secretary for at least a year, probably more than that. He gets the minutes done on time. They're clear. They're easy to read. They're what's supposed to be in the minutes. His background, he's actually trained as an architect, but don't hold that against him, yes.
Madam Chair, may I add something?
Yeah.
Richard Uzel has served 3 or 4 years. He had a period in which he was not on, and he came in as somebody who filled an uncompleted seat. Every year that he has been on the board, he has served as secretary. Our minutes have all been complete and timely, and that's a wonderful standard to meet. It's hard to get somebody to do that for $25 an hour.
That's for sure.
Okay. Wendy? Can I say something, too?
Well, you know, I think we're at about time for this.
Right,
Susan, how are we? Yeah, okay.
Point of order. Right?
So,
pardon me? Have a point of order.
Okay, go ahead, Nia.
Yeah, I just want to set the record straight. If somebody said, what was the interim secretary being paid? I assume it was Donna. If I'm not mistaken, Sherry has said repeatedly that Donna did this for free. So I really don't want, I don't know if she's listening. I don't know why she would, but in any case, she would. She was not being paid. Am I correct, Sherry?
Yes, she's volunteered for time.
Wow, we should give her an award of valor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
that.
Incredible to do that as a volunteer.
All right.
As we're at time, can the secretary take the roll for this amended motion? And Georgia, can you, or the or Wendy, can you read the amended motion?
Well, I just wrote that George moves to hire Richard Uzel, KPFT LSB secretary, as recording secretary for the PNB at a cost of $25 per hour for time spent in the meeting only, plus transportation for in-person meetings, and that it was amended by Leslie. Well, I guess you vote on Leslie's amendment to make it an interim appointment.
There was no objection.
So moves to hire Richard Uzel as interim recording secretary for the PNB.
Point of information.
Yes, was that?
How long is the interim?
Until we find a volunteer to do it for free, I imagine.
Okay.
Wendy, can you take the roll on this motion?
Yes. Hold on just
well,
a
Well, first,
second.
Is there any objection to this motion as amended?
Yes.
Okay.
So wait, so hold on just a second.
Roll.
Let me just paste this here. All right. Grace Aaron. Oh, not Grace Aaron. Sorry. David Beaton. David Beaton, how do you vote?
We're voting on the amendment, right?
We're voting on the amended motion. Hire Richard Uzel as interim. David, are you there?
Yes.
Did you vote yes?
I vote yes.
Okay. Nia?
No.
Carolyn? Yes?
Yes.
Carolyn there?
Okay. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear pots. Jim Brown, are you with us?
Not mine. Thank you.
A.C. Bird?
Yeah, I'm glad about that.
That pot.
I'm sorry, AC, hi. AC?
I asked for information to clarify the amendment. What is it stating? Are we including the amendment to the amendment? I just want to know.
Okay, the amendment passed without objection, so it's added to the main motion.
Okay.
Wendy, can you read the complete motion?
George Ryder moves to hire Richard Uzel as interim recording secretary for the PNB at a cost of $25 per hour of meeting time plus transportation for in-person.
The amendment was added to that. The amendment. Please add the amendment to the end of that.
What was the amendment?
I said interim recording secretary.
Oh, okay. You're right. Sorry, Wendy. Can you continue
AC?
The roll?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yes?
I'll just pass for a minute.
Okay. Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sherry Gindelman?
No.
Luzette King?
Yes.
Efia Wangaza?
Yes.
Sean Casey O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
Yes.
Sandra Rollin. Sandra?
Yes.
Yes. By the way, for people that don't know, it's #1 to mute your phone and #1 to unmute your phone.
I was not able to unmute my phone.
Oh, I can hear you.
Yeah,
well, I have to call back in. I'm sorry. You can hear me if I had to hang up.
Okay,
Sherry has
well,
requested that no one be allowed to unmute their phones.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Jamie Ross?
Yes.
Rico Ross? Rico? Wendy Schrell votes yes. Bonnie Simmons?
Abstain.
Andrea Turner?
Abstain.
Okay. Joe Manzala?
Yes.
Susan Young.
Yes.
Okay, I had one pass. Was AC Byrne?
Abstain.
Okay. All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, yes. We have one no, which...
Oh.
And two abstentions.
Two no's.
What point of information?
Yeah? Oh, well, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I realize that this has passed. I just want to feel comfortable with this. I know that earlier on in the call, you mentioned that Donna was not interested in this position. I just want to know if, in fact, Donna was offered this position as a paid position or continuing in a volunteer position.
I offered it to her to consider it if she would consider it as a paid position.
You did.
Oh, I thought she's you said volunteer.
No. I asked her also for paid, and she said she would think about it, but then somebody else had more current information.
Yeah, she declined. I'll send you all her email response to me.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that I couldn't hear what the count was. I thought there were two no's, Nia and Sherry, and three abstentions, Bonnie, Andrea, AC.
Yeah, you're right. I have it written down. I just wasn't counting them very well.
Okay, very good. Now let's move on the agenda to this motion to limit how long directors can speak per agenda item. Rico, are you there? Rico? Are you there to motivate this item? Okay, if it's okay with the body, let's switch the order of agenda item 5 with agenda item 4. I'm sorry to have to do this, but obviously Rico fell off the call.
Well, you can't unmute yourself, Grace, so you have to hang up and call back. And the message is that you are controlling the call by not allowing people to unmute.
What are you saying? I don't understand.
I muted myself when I was doing something so I wouldn't disturb the call. When I pressed #1 again, it said in an automatic voice, chair of the, see, there he is, Rico, I guess. Hi.
Yeah, that is Rico. I had the same problem. I couldn't unmute myself.
It says the chair has arranged the call so that people will not be permitted to unmute.
Okay, believe me, my technical expertise is way below being able to figure out how to do that. I never dialed into the leader.
Okay, I'm just telling you what it says.
Yeah, you know, if anyone can figure out how to do that and give me instructions of how to undo it, I would be happy to even take a minute break to do it. But I called into the...
May I say that I've been on other conference calls, and I always thought it was my phone, but I guess maybe it is the system, and you have to know how to do it. But, yeah, I've had this problem before with other conference calls with other clubs.
Well, if anyone can tell me, believe me, I called into the public number that you all did. I did not use the leader code.
Okay, so, can we move on here?
Yeah, if anyone can figure out how I can allow people to mute using this.
Would everybody just keep quiet and stay on?
Okay, very good. Let's move on then. Rico, are you ready to speak to your motion to limit how long directors can speak per agenda item?
I am, yes. And I also wanted to say I had voted yes. I don't know if you guys heard me before on the last motion.
I don't think we did.
Okay, I had voted yes. So I guess you couldn't hear me. On this item, I read some emails, and I had also spoken with some of the PNB members that have been a part of the board, and they gave me some horror stories about it. So I thought I would put it up to the board to decide. Someone wrote an email about limiting it to 2 minutes to 90 seconds to speak on an item. And I thought maybe 90 seconds might be a good starting place, and if it doesn't work, then maybe we can change that at a later date. And I might like to put it to the board.
Okay, so the motion you're putting forward is basically that we would limit the amount of time that people can speak
on an
agenda item to 90 seconds.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is.
Okay. Anyone second that motion?
We see a second.
Okay. Is there any discussion about this motion?
Jamie has a point of information.
Okay.
Which is this 90 seconds or total, or is it per, like, can you talk more than once for 90 seconds?
What I had in mind is that we would have 90 seconds, and then after everyone had spoken, if there were more time left, then a person could speak a second time.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Move to the vote.
Madam Chair, to Bonnie DeStack.
Okay. Lucette just called a question. Is there a second on that?
Second.
You haven't had any argument, Madam Chair.
Okay,
you don't have to.
Lucette called the question before.
You can't call the question before you've had argument.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. So we're gonna go to a vote. This is not debatable. We're gonna go to a vote about calling the question. Wendy, can you take a roll on this? Roll call vote on this.
Okay.
This is to end debate. It needs a 2/3 vote.
Okay.
Order.
I really want to bias the vote by telling everyone how to vote. All right, let's see.
It's a point of order. Point of order.
Okay, go ahead. What's the point of order?
I actually believe you have to allow debate. This is not a non-debatable motion.
Everybody should vote no on this.
Okay.
That's really helpful, Wendy.
Lucette made a motion to call the question. As the first person.
Madam Chair, how are you ruling on my point of order?
My point of order is I'm asking George to cite us Robert's Rules of Order, where there has to be debate before someone can end debate.
As far as I know, that's not the case. The motion was open and debatable. The first thing that happened was a subsidiary motion to close debate. As far as I know, that's in order.
Okay. All right.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Point of information.
Any debate right now? We're going to vote on.
Can I ask
the question? I'm
information,
sorry.
Madam.
Okay. Go ahead.
Point of information. Would you have George to cite that where that is in the Robert's Rules, or where that is?
Somebody decided it has to be Bonnie. I, as far as I can tell, there's nothing in here which says that you must have some amount of debate before you close the question. If Bonnie thinks that it's
Bonnie, I'd like to hear you.
I don't know where that is.
You don't know how it is. How is it we're being governed?
Then you call what it should be. How can you do that?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's just being funny, that's all.
Okay.
I resent that.
This is all out of order. I'm making a ruling of the chair that Lucette's motion to call the question is in order. It's been seconded. That's the ruling of the chair. If somebody wants to challenge the ruling of the chair, go right ahead.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Okay, and is that debatable, George? I forget.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now we'll open up debate challenging the ruling of the chair.
Jamie has a point of information.
Yeah, point of order here.
Okay,
point of
information.
The chair gets to speak first and last on any time it is challenged on a ruling. You have a right to speak at the beginning of the debate and at the end of the debate, unlike anybody else.
Okay. Did I hear David?
I had a point of information.
Oh, Jamie. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can somebody cite the ruling that you cannot call the question, that you can only call the question after people have argued it? Because I'm looking at the Roberts Rules right now, and I don't see it, though it's a fairly long and densely stated section, so I might be missing it. But my understanding was the same as George's.
Sure. Okay. That's up to the people who are challenging the chair's ruling to come up with a citation. But we'll take a few more moments for debate on this ruling of the chair, on challenging the ruling of the chair, unless someone wants to call the question on that.
This is Wendy.
Question on that.
Okay, Wendy first.
I just want to beg people to not do this. Maybe it is in order to call the question before the debate even starts, but it doesn't, it leaves a bad feeling in everybody's mouth, and already we're off onto this time-wasting episode right here. So
Can I say something?
Yeah, it just seems like not a good idea, but anyway, I mean, it's, I don't know, I forgot my sum-up point.
Thank you, Wendy. Now, I heard some voices. Was that Kathy who wanted to be on the stack first?
Lizette.
Okay, Lizette.
And Nia, please, Lizette.
Okay. Nia? Well, I mean Lizette first and then Nia?
I am all for debate for everything, anything. But there comes a time, especially when we're dealing with the situation that we're in, to debate whether we restrict our debates doesn't make much sense to me. We have had we've had horror stories. People have warned me about coming on to the board because the meeting's going to the wee hours of the morning, and I'd rather not discuss. And I hope more people would rather not discuss how long we should speak when, in fact, we're just trying out 90 seconds, and if it doesn't work, we do something else. We have a lot of other crucial things to discuss.
Thank you, Lizette. Nia is next. Nia, are you there?
Yes. You know, I understand it because I like to be short with it myself, so I can sort of start with this. But I don't think it's very not a question debate. You know, without having to speak, to just throw the question like that. Like Wendy said, I'm agreeing with Wendy. I'm sure you all are shocked to hear that. So I really think that we shouldn't do that. There's enough animosity to go around as it is. We don't need to add something else to it.
Okay. Is there any other debate on challenging the ruling of the chair?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah, Sean.
All right. I agree that, you know, when it comes to these common sense proposals, like how strong we should be and everything, when we get into use for this, these are tactics to delay and just keep us from achieving anything that is truly important. And I must say, as a former member of the TNB Audit Committee, we voted on many things without any debate whatsoever, and I challenge everybody to listen to the meetings.
Madam Chair, can we go on with this, please?
Okay, there seems to be some
can
noise
we,
in the background. If any,
Madam Chair,
to...
I haven't been on the stack.
Okay.
To call the question on the vote to challenge the ruling of the chair.
Okay, so we're going to go to a vote on the challenge to the ruling of the chair, which needs a two-thirds vote to pass.
Is there any objection?
Point of order.
Wait a minute. No.
Point of order?
Yes.
I was confused. The call the question requires two-thirds vote, but overturn the ruling of the chair is only a majority.
I know. I'm calling the question.
I moved to
call the question regarding the vote for overturning the chair. If there's not an objection to that, we can move forward with that vote.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Carolyn. Yeah, I would ask members not to call out without being called on, because especially without muting, it's a very noisy call, and I would ask members to respect the chair and wait until we're called upon. It does make it more orderly. Thank you.
Okay. We are at...
Grace, may I be recognized? This is Leslie.
The question has been called on this challenge to the ruling of the chair. So debate or comments are not appropriate at this time.
You didn't ask if there is objection to calling the question.
Yeah. Is there any objection to calling the question on the ruling of the chair, on challenging the ruling of the chair?
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to know.
Okay. So hearing no objection, we'll go to the vote on calling the question on Rico Ross's motion, which is ending debate on Rico Ross's motion.
No, we're on the ruling of the chair.
I just asked if there were any objections. Ending debate. Okay, now we can go to a vote to a challenge to the ruling of the chair. Wendy?
Point of order. You need to describe what a yes and a no vote means.
Okay. Right. Wendy, can you explain that? Okay. Yes vote upholds the ruling of the chair. A no vote defeats the ruling of the chair. Okay? So yes is for the ruling of the chair. No is against the ruling of the chair. Wendy, can you take the roll on that?
I'm sorry. I'm talking away, but I'm muted. I'm going to start at the bottom this time. Susan Young.
No, ma'am.
I'm opposed to the ruling of the chair.
No.
Right.
Joe Gonzalez. No?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Andrea Turner?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
Nope.
Wendy doesn't care. I'm abstaining. Rico Ross?
Yes.
Jamie Ross?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Sandra Rollins?
Yes.
Leslie Radford?
As I have an amendment to put forward, no.
Okay. Sean Casey O'Brien?
Yes.
Effie Ellen Gaza?
Yes.
Lizette King?
Yes.
Sherry Gendelman?
No.
Kathy Davis? Kathy? A.C. Byrd?
Sorry, abstain.
Kathy
no.
Abstains? Okay. A.C. votes no. Jim Brown, are you here? Okay, Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Mia Bediaco?
No.
David Beaton?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no. 1 abstention.
Okay, so the ruling of the chair. Okay, so the ruling of the chair stands. So now, Wendy, can you take a vote on Rico's motion?
So, point of order.
Go ahead.
What you're taking a vote on now is whether to call the question on Rico's order motion.
Correct.
Okay, sorry. Now we're going to take a vote on whether to call the question on Rico's motion.
Well, you mean. Doesn't someone have to call the question and then you decide if you're doing it?
The question was called.
Any objection?
Yes. There was an objection, Wendy. We need to.
Okay. David Beaton?
Yes.
Mia Bediaco?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Jim Brown, A.C. Byrd?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sherry Gendelman?
No.
Lisa King?
What am I voting for?
Whether to call the question on
yes,
Rico's motion.
Yes, yes,
yes. Effie Ellen Gaza?
Yes.
Sean Casey O'Brien? Sean, yes, no? Leslie Radford?
No.
Sandra Rollins?
Yes.
George Ryder?
No.
Jamie Ross?
Yes.
Rico Ross?
Yes.
Wendy Schrell, yes. Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Joe Gonzalez?
Yes.
Susan Young?
No.
Hello? Still open. I inadvertently cut myself off.
We hear you. Okay, so on the yeses, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Whoa, is the vote still open? That's what I'm
10. Sean, we're in the middle of a vote. It's not going to make a difference either way. Can I just continue? I'm hesitant.
Because I do, Wendy.